Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast, brought to you by NFL Photo Store, your exclusive home for game day player, team, and stadium photos. I am your host, Joe Kuzma, and I am joined by a voice I haven't heard for a little while. How you doing, Brian Roach?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, sir?
Sir, a gentleman and a scholar. Are we throwing anything else around on this lovely day?
It's early. I haven't gotten my grump on.
Well, I get that on like 24/7. There's no on-off switch for the grumpiness, I think. That goes right hand in hand with Steelers Nation out there trying to figure out what the heck is going to go on Thursday night. The Steelers hosting the 6-3 Tennessee Titans, who have been kind of on a roll as of late. They have won four in a row, including an overtime win over the Cleveland Browns, 12-9. If that tells you anything, a 3-point win over the Ravens, a 4-point win over the Bengals, and now on a short week they travel to Heinz Field to complete their quadfecta. Is that a word with the AFC North?
Yeah, I don't think that's a word, but yeah, exactly. You know, they've won four in a row. If you want to complain about the Steelers' opponents and playing down, but winning, they haven't dominated really any of their last four opponents, and none of their last four opponents are what I would call upper tier level teams. Escaping in Cleveland, They beat Baltimore by a field goal, as you said. They managed to beat the Bengals. It's an interesting matchup, though, because they are not – I mean, they were projected to really – a lot of people thought take off this year with Marcus Mariota and the tandem of Henry and DeMarco Murray at running back. They got a Corey Davis in the draft as a wide receiver. He's starting. They looked like they were going to be a really tough team, and it hasn't been as easy for them as anybody anticipated. Sound like a familiar storyline?
It's a very familiar storyline because Marcus Mariota, a little banged up. He missed one game, a full game, that is. So he played eight games. He has 7 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, 62.1 completion percentage, 1,700 some yards, almost 1,800 yards passing. And you know what? That sounds an awful lot like a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback that we know and how his season has been going. But you know what? I think a lot of the thing we say the ins and everyone just they're not happy with 7-2. They think the Steelers should be 9-0 and blowing everyone out. Well, 7-2, I'm thrilled with 7-2. I'm not thrilled with how they've arrived to 7-2 necessarily, especially the 2, but the 7, I'll take the 7. Much like yourself, Brian, you were on vacation. You took a bye week from Steel City Underground. And then what was it like when you got back into the groove of things? It just wasn't like you didn't pick up where you left off. You were probably a little sluggish and not so sharp and maybe well-rested, a well-deserved vacation, but you weren't like right back into the groove right away with all of your, you know, real life things, right?
Oh, absolutely not. And I'm still catching up on it. We expect them to come off of a bye sharp, but that hasn't been their history over the last 4 years. I mean, they lost the last 3 games they came off of the bye again in. So they managed to win this one. It wasn't pretty. The first half was I don't even know whether to call it ugly or just fugly. It was bad. But you know, they did what they needed to do to win. Ben didn't perform well in the first half, but came up clutch in the second half, leading him to a victory. I think it was, what is his 40th come from behind victory.
Yep.
Something like that. It's, you know, it there are positives to build off of. And the thing is, this feels like a narrative every game this year. They're a team of two halves. You know, if they could get their halves together and play, you know, one solid game of football, I think we might actually see the team we thought we were going to see all season long. But they keep having, you know, a half that is humdrum and then a half that's better. But on both sides of the ball, the offense does it and the defense does it. You know, as I think even some of the defensive players were saying after the game, if we could just put the entire game together the way we know we can play, I think we'd be really good. And I think they would be.
Yeah, something like 19 yards total that they relinquished in that second half after that big – I think the one pass play was still in the third quarter, but early in the third quarter to Dante Moncrief. After that, yeah. they just shut things down. And it goes to, like, blown assignments and things like that. We were talking internally, even Mike Hilton missing a play. How often has he missed a play all year? He hasn't. So these aren't things that I'm necessarily freaking out about. I'd like to see Ben be a little sharper. It looks like at times they are kind of forcing things. We have a great article, by the way. I can't say I agree with all of it, but it definitely sometimes maybe because the truth hurts. Mike Palaya has one that's out is how good are the Steelers, and he talks about some of these things. Particularly, he's not sold on the defense. He's saying, well, who have they played? Well, Marcus Mariota might be the best quarterback that they've played to date. It just depends on how high of a pedestal you put Andy Dalton or Joe Flacco on. But you look around the NFL and it's like, who are the good quarterbacks? I mean,
Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he's been the best so far by a landslide. Even Matt Ryan has not had a great year, and the Falcons were a Super Bowl competitor. They competed in it. They didn't win it 28-3.
Right.
God, I got to keep getting reminded of that. But yeah, they're 5-4. So you know what I mean? And not much change there. I mean, they lost their offensive coordinator, but really not much change there. They should have been getting better and reloading, and they defensive draft picks and all these other things on their end. I know we're not talking about the Falcons, but just to put it into perspective with the Steelers, you know what? That's a good one I want to bring up real quick here, Brian. You probably remember all of the shows we did leading up to the draft, because what else did we have to talk about from about maybe February through May? And I remember me and you, and there was a name, there was a young man's name that kept coming up, and we would go through this one position group and we're like, I don't know, you think the Steelers would really take a wide receiver? And then they go and grab Juju Smith-Schuster in the second round, and people were, you know, whining and complaining and saying, you know, hey, why are you taking a wide receiver? It's such a luxury pick. We need a cornerback. We need this. We need that. And now look how that has actually played out. And a lot of the same with TJ Watt, which, you know, I'm just as guilty. Is it just the pedigree, the name, the family, you know, hey, well, JJ is a defensive player of the year with the Texans, et cetera, et cetera. And it looks like the two rookies have really, 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 really come, not only just come into their own, but have contributed to this team. But no one could have guessed that this is the one I want to swing around to, because they're talking about cornerback. This is the one that no one could have guessed at the beginning of the season. This is something that you and I certainly haven't discussed, at least to my recent knowledge, is that when the Steelers went out and got Joe Hayden, who's now hurt, and anywhere from, you know, Terry here, our resident medical guru, said, you know, on the very, you know, this is being very, very optimistic, would be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, probably 6 weeks, probably looking at the end of the regular season, targeting Christmas, Browns. I would say maybe the Browns. They may target to play him with the Browns because it's the Browns.
Yeah.
What a better way to work him in before the postseason and playing a quality opponent. Shots fired. So but this is the thing. You know, Joe Hayden came right in and everybody's like, oh wow, they signed Joe Hayden. Is he still got whatever? And, you know, he's been great. He's been fantastic. Maybe even a Pro Bowl season. Maybe one of his best seasons ever. I saw some stat for yards per pass or yards, whatever, per play given up by Joe Hayden. I think the best or second best in his career, according to Pro Football Focus. So he's been lights out. He's been shut down. We talked about it. We got ahead of this curve way back before, like, the Chiefs game or whatever, and talked about how his name's never been called. Now he's out, and you're going to be without him for at least five, six games, maybe longer. Who knows? Because we don't know recovery timetable. We don't know if he's Superman when it comes to healing. We don't know the full severity of everything, nor do I think they've got it all figured out. Or they're not going to disclose it all, maybe. But just right. at this time, they started working out third-round draft pick Cameron Sutton. A lot of people were very excited about him in the preseason. He was one of these solutions, so to speak, for corner, because they had to have a corner. And, you know, we're talking life without Hayden now. Well, that's the way life was before the regular season started. There were two dogs and one bone with Cody Sensabaugh and Ross Cockrell. And I guess my question is that who was penciled in to be this starter if Joe Hayden would have never fell to the Steelers? I think we got to take that into consideration from here moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think it's pretty clear Cody Sensabaugh got the bone away from Ross Cockrell. But at the same time, you know, they saw that they still needed to be upgraded there. And, you know, Cam Sutton being hurt throughout training camp and then, you know, being placed on IR for, you know, with the eligible to return it was another blow in that direction, which is part of why. I think they would have pursued Joe Hayden regardless. They didn't have a cornerback of his stature, of his capabilities on the team. And when he was released, even if they felt ultra comfortable, I think they would have pursued Joe Hayden. But, you know, because you can always get better. But they are going to be in a position where they are less capable on that side of the ball. And that's important for this game. I mean, I assume it's going to be Cody Sensabaugh that gets the start. I don't see any other tremendous option there. Cam Sutton, doesn't appear he's going to be activated now. But even when he comes back, as good as they think he can be, as much as Carnell Lake has raved about him, he's still a rookie who has played almost no football this year. So it's going to take some time for them to push him back in and maybe get him acclimated to the team. And the fact that Cody Sensabaugh was a Titan prior to this means that they know him as a player. They know what his strengths are. They know what his weaknesses are. They know what his tendencies are going to be. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and whether he becomes, you know, whether they give him help over the top, whether they give him some extra help on the side. I don't know, but it's going to place a burden on Artie Burns to probably, be on his own on his side of the ball. And we will see, because we could also be without Mike Mitchell. Although I think he was limited in practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no guarantee he's going to play.
Yeah, and he's been banged up, and the Steelers have a short week to prepare, which is always something. But here, this is the thing that I like when it comes to the Thursday nights, okay? Short week, but the Steelers are at home, and it's always been a tremendous advantage, these Thursday night games. It's usually, it looks like one team is not prepared to play. Looks like they've got all the cobwebs and whatnot, and it looks like the other team's usually fresh and raring to go, and it's usually the home team almost every single instance. So just a little bit on that injury report. Yeah, Mitchell did not practice on Monday, but he was limited in participation on Tuesday, and Ramon Foster also returned to practice, as did Darius Heyward-Bey. Vance McDonald was limited. They're talking about his ankle now and being in a walking boot or something. He did not participate on Tuesday, so he was downgraded while the others were upgraded. Martavis Bryant pops up on the report as well with an illness, and I don't know a whole lot about that. But I do feel good about, you know what, the Steelers have been winning these games as ugly as they've been. Has anyone ever criticized them as being a good home team? Or a good away team, I should say, because they've got 5 of 7 coming up at home. And, Brian, this is a good time to tell the Steelers fans here, if you want to score photos of the top plays and your favorite players, even a nice photo, those photos they have of like Heinz Field, where these games will be the next 5 out of 7, you're going to want to visit steelers.photos.nfl.com. I know it's a mouthful, people, but it is your team, .photos.nfl.com. It's the team's official online photo store where you'll find the largest selection of premium quality photo, canvas, and metal prints. New photos are added every week, and if you act now, right through the holiday season, just in time, use the code STEELCITY at checkout and you'll receive 25% off your order. So that's steelers.photos.nfl.com via our new sponsor, the NFL Photo Store. So that's some exciting stuff for anybody that's looking for that. But you know what? I'm geeked up because, like I said, it is a home game. Heinz Field's going to be rocking. It's about time. I made this comment. We're already November 15th. And the Steelers have had 3 home games. They've played 9 games. It's week 11 of the NFL season. 3 home games. And they're at 7-2. I mean, you got to be thrilled at the prospect now of who's going to come into their house. You know what I mean? This is the place they protect, and they did flop with the Jaguars. But you know what? Are the Jaguars really that terrible of a team this year? I keep saying that. You just never know who the surprise is going to be. And, like, they're in contention for that division just as much as, like, the Titans are. I think when I look at the Tennessee Titans, I'm not, like I said, off the air with you, I'm not particularly scared. Their pass defense is terrible, just as much as most of the opponents the Steelers are facing in the second half of this season, outside of their division at least. And Tennessee, they could defend the run pretty decent. On the other hand, they are almost all ground and pound on offense. I think the scariest guys you got to be worried about, like you said, shutting down DeMarco Murray and shutting down Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I think they can do that. You're right. They do. They are ground and pound, but they are going to be able to throw the ball if they are willing to try and throw the ball with Marcus Mariota, and he's been protected a lot this year. Other than I think the last game he got sacked 4 times, but prior to that he's only been sacked 8 times all year. And if they do put them in a position to throw, they're going to need to get pressure on them. And that offensive line of the Titans is not a bad offensive line. I think part of the reason that their pass game is not, you know, a top-tier pass game is because their rush game is so good. So, you know, they really are going to have to focus on shutting down DeMarco Murray, who has been getting the bulk of the snaps lately over the last few weeks. It was pretty evenly split between him and Derrick Henry early on, but DeMarco Murray has kind of surged ahead, and I think he got like 69% of the snaps last week, something along those lines. And, you know, if they can keep their run game under control, which, you know, other than, you know, a giant play against Jacksonville, they did a fairly decent job with Leonard Fournette. If they can do what they have been able to do in certain circumstances and control the run game, you know, we were talking about this run defense as being really bad. They were near the bottom of the barrel in the league, and now I think what they're up to like 12th in the league or something like that. So they are improving, and they're getting themselves back, and having Stephon Tuitt back is a big aid in that. You know, he can get in there and put pressure in the backfield, blow up plays as they come out. Cam Hayward continues to have, you know, tremendous season, and Javon Hargrave is they've got the horses, essentially. You know, they've got the horses to slow these guys down. It always seems to me that the weak point in their run defense is when teams try and run that outside zone stuff, and we either lose discipline or we have guys who are a little less than willing to tackle.
Well, that's a good way of putting that. I like the horses. You're always talking about the three horsemen up front. Man, we watched, or at least I watched. I know you're not the wrestling guy, but the 30 for 30, Ric Flair, and I got to say, woo. I can't do the full woo because, of course, these allergies are kicking my butt, man, let me tell you. But the four horsemen, you could put Tyson Alualu in there as well. I mean, he only got a handful of snaps on Sunday against the Colts, and he came in and was pushing the pile too, man. I'm telling you, that I love watching these guys guys up front. It would have liked to have gotten a little more pressure on Jacoby Brissett than what they did, especially since he was one of the more sacked QBs in the NFL. He was the most sacked. But they're not sitting ducks. These are professionals. They know where their weaknesses are. They look at the Steelers coming in, being able to pressure the QB, and they're thinking to themselves, okay, you're gonna have to get out. You're gonna have to roll out of the pocket. You're gonna have to move. You're gonna have to throw the ball away. And he did all of those things. They also hit a few deep by extending plays, which is something that quarterbacks hadn't had a real luxury of doing against the Steelers most of the season. Now, you saw how Matt Stafford can move some. You saw how Alex Smith can move some. Marcus Mariota definitely has some wheels on him, too. So I'm wondering if they don't spy on him just a bit on Thursday. That would be kind of nice. I think on the offensive side with the Steelers, I'm not so worried if Martavis Bryant can't go, because we've seen what the team looks like with and without him. I think getting Le'Veon Bell going again, I made a comment during the Colts game. I tweeted out that if Bell gets 10 or more carries in the second half, I think he was sitting at like maybe 15, 13. I can't remember the total that he had in the first half, but I thought to myself, 25 to 30 carry game for him, and it's a win. And it was by the skin of their teeth, but, you know, all things aside, missed extra point opportunity, field goal that hits the uprights, all sorts of opportunities for them to lose the game. It was almost like they still wanted to hand it over to Indianapolis at points, but they still came out with it. And good teams win these games. It's what we've always heard. You hear this criticism all the time, Brian. The Patriots, they win the games that they're supposed to. Well, the Steelers won the game. They were supposed to win that game. That's what everybody else says. They were 10-point favorites or whatever. I don't know what the line is with the Titans. I get sick of looking at it, to be completely honest. I don't even want to know because, like, you know what? It's like our former sponsor. It's like I feel bad. I think some people lost some money on some of these Steelers games this year. The offense has not been as advertised. But I'm still waiting for the defense. I think a lot of things that were lost is and when people complain about Todd Haley and bring up Bruce Arians, and the Steelers only scored points by kicking field goals a lot of times, and also the occasional Troy Polamalu or someone getting a pick six and, you know, taking something to the house, turning the ball over, defensive scoring. The Steelers have not had any defensive scoring as of late. You used to see that all the time. I think they're coming around. I know some people, they weren't exactly, they're not happy so much. Bud Dupree, I mean, he's having a quiet good year. I think people want him to sack the quarterback like every other play, which isn't realistic. Even if you were James Harrison in his prime, I think the difference is when Harrison last did this, when he had double digit sacks, he had another guy who had double digit sacks with Lamar Woodley. And I really do feel that Dupree and Watt are like right there. And when you have these guys up front, like you're talking about the 3-4 horsemen, whatever we want to call those guys, they're killing it too. It's still going to help the secondary. Like I said, Cody Sensabaugh, I think, like you said, he pulled the bone away from Ross Cockrell. I think he was meant to be the guy. You still have depth there with William Gay if you need to. I know that it could be a scary thought, but he's going to be teed up on Delanie Walker, who is probably the biggest receiving threat that the Titans have. And he pretty much shut down Jack Doyle. And Shazier is part of that as well. And we saw what Shazier's got eyes in the back of his head. I mean, that ball he caught for the pick is just incredible. So look for more of the same on Thursday night.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup. You know, it's I think since Coach Dad Dick LeBeau left, it's one of the few times they've played against him, and now he, instead of just being a consultant or whatever he was when he first hit the Titans, he's now their defensive coordinator, assistant coach. You know, he knows our team, obviously, but I don't know. We also know him. You know, Ben knows his defenses, even though, as Ben was saying this week, it won't be any fun to play against Dick LeBeau because he's going to, you know, he does all these tricky things. But I get the feeling that they know each other very well, and it's not a one-sided thing. You know, it's not just that Dick LeBeau knows how our offense works. We also know what Dick LeBeau does. I mean, he was there for a really long time. And he's got the Titans defense playing well. especially their rush defense. As you said, their pass defense, well, you know, they got one rookie, I think Adoree Jackson, who Juju Smith-Schuster ought to know since they both went to USC. He's starting at corner, and Logan somebody, I can't remember his last name, is the other
– Ryan. He was the guy from Logan, the Patriots. Yeah.
And so, you know, there may be some opportunities for them to take advantage of the Titans through the air. You can bet. You know, I don't want to even say you can bet, because if you remember, you know, over the last few years that Dick LeBeau was in Pittsburgh, we didn't blitz that much. You know, we tried to get pressure with four guys. We didn't blitz as heavily as we could. He wasn't running a lot of those fancy blitzes. We were in, you know, nickel and dime coverages a lot as opposed to our base defense. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I'm sure he'll have a few tricks up his sleeve to try and throw at Ben. But there's been whisperings all week, you know, all week of the last 2 days, that, you know, maybe they'll do some no huddle. And I'd be interested to see what happens if they do. I think Ben is generally at his best when he's in the new no huddle, but we'll see. It could be a way for them to try and combat, you know, anything tricky that Dick LeBeau wants to throw at them. But, you know, it's an interesting challenge. The short week is tough. And I think you're right. The home team always has an advantage because there's just something about home cooking. But it'll be an interesting game. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, bringing up Dick LeBeau as well, I think it's funny hearing everyone, you know, scream and preach about being afraid of facing Dick LeBeau's defense, especially one in Tennessee that has not been sharp over the last few years. And I said this would be a controversial statement because it seems like I'm throwing some shade at Dick LeBeau and what has appeared to become starting to become the formation of Steelers South there in Tennessee. You know, everyone wanted him out the door for the most part, a lot of people did. They weren't happy with the defense when he was still here in Pittsburgh, and he goes to Tennessee, and all of a sudden you're terrified of him. I mean, it's just I don't understand the psychology in that. I definitely respect him. It's hard to believe he's still around and coaching. I mean, the guy, like, you know, he's going to do it literally to the day he dies. I mean, and God bless him. You know, anyone who has the drive to do something like that, and I you know what, I didn't even look up his age, but he's up in the, isn't he like 81 or something like that? I'm gonna pull that up right now. But yeah, I mean, they've got what, Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo came out of nowhere last year with like some miracle season after being like constantly hurt and just, you know, a disappointment everywhere he had, you know, everything he had been doing for a while. So let me see, 80, I was close. He had a birthday on September 9th, so yeah, guy's been around. I don't think he's left the NFL. He started as a player in 1959, retired in 72, and went into coaching immediately in 1973. And I don't think there's a lapse there at all. He's been going strong ever since as a coach since 73 and in the NFL since 1959. That's just mind-blowing. There's very few people like that that have that sort of perspective. I mean, he's got everything. He knows what it was like with NFL championships were around. He knows when the Super Bowl started. He's kind of like Gil Brandt that was with the Cowboys and is now an analyst with the NFL, the godfather of football, who I enjoy listening to as well. So definitely an encyclopedia of knowledge. He's seen and he has done it all. Their head coach, Mike Mularkey, is another familiar name. That's a throwback for the Steelers. A player, a tight end, and 80s, I think, somewhere in there, the Bubby Brist era, I want to say, at some point. And of course, he was an offensive coordinator underneath Bill Cowher, and then he went out on his own and had one or two, at least, head coaching stints didn't work out for him. So he became the interim guy when the other Steelers guy got fired last year, Ken Wisenhunt, who was the head coach. So it's hard to say if they necessarily that Mike Mularkey has all of his pieces at play that he wants. This is still relatively a new coaching staff for this. This is still a young team in many aspects. We didn't really talk. You mentioned like Corey Davis. I mean, he's just coming back. I mean, he hasn't really done much of anything yet. Rashard Matthews is their top threat, who's been surprisingly pretty decent. And then you got Eric Decker, who's always been a red zone threat, no matter where he's been, the Jets and then previously with the Broncos. He could be a touchdown machine. I think he only has one on the year so far, and he just caught it a week or two ago, real recent. So that's been uncharacteristic for him as well. I like the Steelers here, of course, because they're at home, even on the short week, even without Joe Hayden, possibly without Vance McDonald, who I've been really bullish on. And, I mean, God, he was so wide open in that game with the Colts. It's like, finally, you know what I mean? He runs, you know, he continues to play everything. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to see a situation where the Steelers drop this game, but then there's the other part of me. I got the little devil that popped up on my other shoulder that's telling me, Jacksonville, and look how they played against the Colts. And I'm like, okay. So it's really hard for me to be geeked up and excited. I think being a Steelers fan just means I increased the medication from like September through the end of the year.
Yeah, it's I'm with you on that. As I kept repeating to myself Sunday, I drove 16 hours for this.
Yeah,
it was a rough game, and it's there is every chance that this is as ugly a game as last Sunday's game. Let's not sugarcoat it. It could absolutely be an ugly game, and as I continue to say, and as I've said all year, if they end up with a W at the end, I don't care. I mean, I do, but I don't. I'm happy if they win, and at the same time frustrated that they are not, performing to the full potential that I expected from them. But I'm more happy that they're winning. 7-2 is a really solid start to the first half of the season, and with all those home games, as you said, coming down the stretch, they are in a great position to control their own destiny and to really take a shot at getting that number one seed, regardless of the fact that their play has been mediocre. Mediocre has still been good enough to beat most of the teams that they played. So,
yeah, mediocre is what the Thursday night games tend to be. They're either low scoring, high scoring, lopsided. So none of that would surprise me just based on the fact that you place a label and call this a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. They're going to bust out the color rush jerseys again. So that'll be kind of fun to see. We'll see if it gives them any added boost. And maybe the scare from Sunday has them preparing and their minds locked in. And maybe the short week won't be such a bad thing because they ended on a good note in Indianapolis. I would say the last quarter and a half was the way you kind of wanted to see things on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. And now that whole bye week hangover is behind them and they have a short week, maybe that kind of settles in and mental things are part of this game too, you know what I mean? And I think it's good. It's almost like when you talk about college football and there's certain conferences and maybe they don't have a championship and the team, like, you know, they're off for however many weeks until they get into this college playoff versus another team, like 40 days off or whatever, which sometimes is ridiculous. I think that really does factor into some of these things. So not trying to make excuses for how ugly they looked for about 2.5, 3 quarters in Indianapolis. It was ugly. You and Zach talked about it ad nauseum. I'm going to drop it right there, and I'm going to say go Steelers. So good having you back, Brian, buddy.
Absolutely. It's great to be back. Good to have the band back together.
I like the fellowship. You're my Samwise to my Frodo.
All right, I can live with that.
Okay, that's fine. I don't know. It's almost a little too weird because I just think about their hairy feet, but...
Yeah, you know, but I can be Samwise. I'm good with Samwise.
Yeah. So, folks, there you have it. I would say leave us some messages over with the fan mail and whatnot. But you know what? It's such a short window until this Thursday night game. We're not going to get to it until afterward. So just send the hate mail after the game. Until next time, that's Brian cackling over there like a hyena. And my name is Joe. Be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.